Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
How many of you have heard of the Eihahara Forest? You know, the famous forest in Japan?
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Where many people decide to go to take their own life, that place can witness many ghost stories and paranormal events that many streamers always try to capture. But while everyone goes there to find ghosts or fake paranormal events to gain some views, there are bad people, really bad people, hiding in the forest. People who want to take advantage of tourists and teenagers trying to see a ghost to show them something much worse. You see, I was one of those unwary tourists who just wanted to have a good time with my friends and record a video that would make me go viral. At the time, I was very innocent, but that night, I was going to lose all my innocence. That night, I would learn a very important lesson. If you are looking for evil, you don't have to try to find demons and spirits. The most evil being in the world lives among us, and it's the human. It all started on our little trip to Japan. My boyfriend and I were a couple of YouTubers sharing a channel of mysteries and paranormal videos. We were already used to seeing the stuff that was on the internet, and we could recognize that most of it was obviously fake. We would see if we would actually find a ghost in Eihahara, or maybe we would invent the ghost ourselves. No matter what that day had in store, I knew we were going to have a good time, and both Ed and I were very excited. We stayed in a village near the forest, and I must admit, that's when we started getting the first red flags. I didn't really know how to speak Japanese other than to say a few words. It was Ed who spoke the language perfectly and communicated for me. That morning in the village passed relatively quickly, and we had a great time. But there was something that kept catching my attention. A man. A man looking at me from a distance. I am not one to judge people or get carried away by first impressions. I'm one of those people who believe that if you give everyone some time, you'll end up liking them. But this person, this was totally different. This person was looking at me from a distance in an absolutely theatrical way. His eyes were fixed on me. He wasn't angry. He wasn't threatening me. He wasn't even nervous. His eyes were pure evil, and they seemed to tell me that he wanted to hurt me. I know. Maybe I was drawing too many conclusions with just one look, but you had to be there. I never thought that a person 20 meters away could scare me so much. You know what was the strangest thing? When I told Ed to turn around and look at him, he was gone. Anyway, I tried not to think too much about the man, and we both went into the woods with our cameras. Some people warned us not to go too far into the woods, so as not to disturb the eternal rest of the people who took their lives there. Ed was a little hesitant. He knew he would surely go in anyway, but I didn't agree. Once in the forest, we took as many pictures as we could and took several videos inside the forest. I'm not going to lie. The forest was beautiful. But in terms of paranormal content, it left a lot to be desired. At that moment, I remembered that we had been told not to disrespect the dead, and maybe they were right. If there really is something after death and the dead are at rest, I don't think it's right to bother them with views. The one who disagreed with me was Ed, who insisted on going deeper into the forest to see if he could find a corpse or something creepy. I told him I felt a little uncomfortable going, so he told me to wait for a few minutes on a log. We were in a wide-open place, so it was impossible to get lost. Ed just left, and bored, I started to wait. After the first few minutes of waiting for him, I started to feel a little uncomfortable. I sent him messages asking where he was, but they weren't getting through. At that point, I realized that he didn't have internet in this area, and I did. And that was why Ed was connected to my cell phone Wi-Fi. I thought that Ed might have been distracted by taking pictures of something. Maybe he had found a dead body and was going to come over excited to show me the pictures, but nothing like that happened. It had been almost half an hour, and I still hadn't heard from him. I couldn't stand here waiting. He could be in danger. Maybe he had fallen. Maybe he was lost. I had to go look for him, even if it was only for a few minutes and then come back, in case he'd found his way and was waiting for me to return. I set off through the forest in search of my boyfriend. I covered as much ground as I could, searching from place to place, but nothing. Not only could I not find Ed, but there was no sign that he had ever passed this way. I kept walking until I found a figure in the distance. It had to be him. I ran towards him as fast as I could, but the closer I got, the more I began to doubt. This one didn't look like Ed. The man had his back turned, but from the skin tone, it was easy to see that it was someone else. For starters, this man was bald, and he didn't have a shirt on. He was completely naked, only covered by a dirty old rag, hiding his private parts. When I got close enough to confirm it wasn't Ed, I stopped and started walking backward. I could ask him about my boyfriend, but something about him scared me to death. Something was wrong. I walked backward without letting him out of my sight. I accidentally stepped on a branch and broke it, and he turned around. I knew that man. That was the man who had looked at me while we were having breakfast. The look may have been the same, but his face had definitely changed. His eyes had so many veins that they looked red. His body was full of scars, and his face was bloody, but he wasn't bleeding anywhere. That wasn't his blood. As soon as he saw me, the man ran towards me on all fours as if he were some kind of animal, like a spider. I ran as fast as I could, aimlessly, just trying to escape. It wasn't long before I lost him. As terrifying as it was still a human running on all four legs. I tried to find my way back home, and that's when I heard a cell phone. It was Ed's cell phone, and it was ringing. That meant his cell phone was connecting to my cell phone's Wi-Fi, and my messages were getting through to him. That could only happen if he was around. Ed, where are you? Are you okay? I moved toward the source of the sound, fearing that Ed was hurt or passed out. But what I found was much, much worse. In front of me was a hanged corpse on a tree, one of the famous corpses of the Ahihahora Forest. Only this person lying dead in front of me was not someone who had taken his own life. This was Ed. His body was already in front of me, hanging in the tree. His face was full of terror, and all his clothes were covered in blood. I fell to the grass in shock, unable to believe what I was seeing. I wanted to vomit. I wanted to cry. I wanted to scream, but nothing came out, just pain and confusion. Before I could understand what was happening, I saw it again. A figure was crawling behind the corpse, walking towards me like an animal. It was the man who had chased me, now standing next to the corpse, stroking Ed's bloody pant leg with his fingers. At that moment, he began to laugh and say something I didn't understand. This man was not speaking Japanese. He was speaking Chinese, but he didn't need to speak anyway. I could understand perfectly well the intentions of this being. I didn't know why he had done something so heinous to my boyfriend, but now he wanted to do it to me. It was at that moment that the man looked at me again and began to laugh out loud. As he laughed, blood dripped into his mouth. Blood that had been there for a while. Blood that he clearly wanted to use to intimidate me. And he succeeded. Terrified, I ran out of the forest as fast as I could. I could hear his footsteps behind me, running at high speed until they disappeared little by little. Once the footsteps ended, I reached the town and the forest seemed far away. The nightmare was over. After that, I went straight to the police. They didn't understand a word I was saying, but when I started shouting the key words, they understood me. Help! Help! Death! That was all it took for them to decide to take me seriously. Once I used my own Japanese to explain to the police how to get there, we found the place where it all happened, but not the body. Anyway, everyone seemed to believe me, since they found all of Ed's blood on top of the vegetation. It's been years since then, but we still don't know anything about Ed, and I don't think we ever will. No matter how much I watch the news, nothing was ever found of that terrifying man who murdered Ed and tried to do the same to me. Every time I close my eyes, I still see him, running in my direction and spitting blood from his mouth, ready to attack me and do the same to me as he did to my boyfriend.
From a very young age, the kids of my town were asked to stay away from the woods. I remember my grandma telling me to play in the park where all the other kids were, rather than venturing into the woods, especially in the evening or at night. I grew up with a fear of the woods and what lurked inside them. The fear only got prominent as I became older. So when I took up the job of a firefighter in our town's fire department, I knew one of these days I would be forced to go into the woods. My grandma used to tell me stories about the woods and how an evil lived inside it. It was rumored that she killed and ate anyone who crossed her path. So not even the elders of the town went into the forest. Our town was small and surrounded by forest from three sides. All the people in the town avoided the forest like a plague and only entered to get wood sometimes. Over the years, my grandma had told me many stories about the witch. The first time I stepped into the forest was on a very stressful day. The south side of the forest was on fire, and the fire was spreading pretty fast. It was my job to scout the woods and warn the hikers to get back to the town as soon as possible. I was terrified as hell, but decided to step into the forest nonetheless. The forest had many unmarked trails, and I decided to stick to the one that seemed the biggest of them all. I had a dirt bike, which I rode into the forest slowly looking for the hikers. As I kept going on into the interior of the forest, the trees around me got thicker. The sunlight did not reach the ground due to dense overhanging branches, which made the forest floor dark. I remembered my training and kept my cool as I rode inside. There was no trace of any hikers, so I knew they must be deep in the forest. I needed to reach them before it was too late. The radio I was using to communicate with my team had lost range a few meters back, but I kept on proceeding. A mile after that, I spotted a small wooden house. The house looked like someone lived in it. My first thought was that maybe a hunter had built a cabin to live out here while he was busy chopping wood, or maybe it was a resting spot for the hikers. I parked my dirt bike against a tree and walked near the house. The door to the house was shut, and a metal chain was wrapped around the handle to prevent anyone from entering. However, the window beside the door was made up of glass, and I peeked through it. The house was one big room, and it looked like someone had lived in it recently. There was a small bed in one corner, and an old wooden table. There was no separate kitchen, but a small stove in another corner. It seemed like an ordinary hunting cabin until I spotted a small shelf tucked beside the bed that had several jars filled with murky liquid, and what was stored in the jars scared the shit out of me. Inside each jar was a small portion of human body parts. One of the jars had a finger. The other had an ear. One of them had an eye, while another had a nose. I was repelled by looking at it, and I instantly knew I hadn't stumbled upon a hunter's pad. Rather, it was the witch's home. As soon as that realization hit me, I ran towards my dirt bike, hopped on it, and drove off. A few meters away in the tree line, I spotted a white wild cat running parallel to my bike. If I sped up, it sped up. If I slowed down, the cat slowed down too. It was weird as animals in the forest generally run away from people. But this cat seemed to follow me. I kept my cool and thought about the hikers I needed to reach. I kept on riding my bike, and suddenly the cat ran faster as it seemed to be moving in my direction rather than parallel to me. It was running a few meters away from me, and it leapt upon a big tree that was 15 meters ahead of me. The cat climbed the tree and sat on the branch that hung right above the path of my dirt bike. Now I was forced to pass from below it. The cat stared at me with its big yellow eyes. It did not meow, rather it hissed at me. It was a very weird cat. I stood there looking at it for several minutes and then finally decided to keep moving. The cat did not take its eyes off me while I passed from the road below. As soon as I passed the cat, I sped up and rushed forward. However, a part of me was compelled to look behind. I turned around and what I saw was enough to knock me off my dirt bike. Perched on the same branch was a freckled old woman wearing a black tunic with long black matted hair looking at me. I barely managed to balance my dirt bike and marched ahead with all I had in me. I had just encountered the witch my grandma had warned me about.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
And she could shapeshift. With sweat running down my forehead and my hands barely managing to hold the handle, I tried my best and kept riding for a few kilometers. Finally, around noon, I found the hikers I was looking for. I asked them to wait by the checkpoint where a rescue team was going to pick them up. But now, I had to return through the same route I came from, which meant there was the chance I would encounter the witch again. I started to recite prayers and rode my bike at a much slower pace, trying my best to avoid the witch and her home. But there was no other way out. I had to meet up with the other members of my team on a pre-decided spot. As I came closer, I could see the old wooden house in the tree line, but there was no woman nor cat anywhere to be seen. My first instinct was to look up in the trees, but the tree line was devoid of any animal, human, or even bird. I continued praying and sped up once more. As I came near the house, there was pin drop silence, except for the roar of my dirt bike. As I was just about to pass the house, the front wheel of my bike got stuck in a branch, and I fell off my bike. Within minutes, the woman was behind me. She threw a rope around my neck, trying to choke me. I was struggling to free myself, but she was more powerful. She was slowly dragging me towards her house. And I was losing consciousness. But at that moment, before I lost my breath forever, I remembered the pocket knife I had in my back pocket. I removed it and stabbed the witch in her thigh. Her scream echoed through the forest, and for a split second, she let go of the rope, clutching her bleeding thigh. I freed myself and stood up, still feeling a bit dazed due to the lack of oxygen. I did not pick up my bike, nor did I bother to take my pocket knife, which was still buried in her thigh. I started to run as fast as I could. I could hear rapid footsteps behind me, and as I turned, a big white feral cat was running behind me, waiting to jump on me. However, she wasn't as fast as before, as one of her feet was bleeding profoundly. I managed to cross a distance of a few meters, and suddenly the footsteps stopped. I turned around, and the witch was standing in between two big trees, glaring at me. It seemed like she couldn't cross the threshold of those trees. She was trapped in that part of that forest, and anyone who passed through it was her victim. I was crying tears of relief. Soon, my radio picked up the signal, and I heard one of my teammates say that the fire was contained. I immediately informed them that the hikers were safe and that I needed some assistance to get back to town. 2 days later, I woke up in a hospital with my family all around me. I asked for my grandma before speaking to anyone else. I wanted to know the witch's story. For the first time, my grandma told me the truth about the forest witch and why she attacked people. Turns out, she was the daughter of one of the founding members of our town. She was an introverted girl with a speaking disability, which made her a great disappointment to her family. Many kids in town mocked and bullied her. But as she got older, she found solace in the woods. But on one evening while she was strolling in the woods, some kids from the village played a prank on her, due to which she fell from a tree and hurt her head pretty badly. She did recover physically, but the fall had traumatized her to the extent that she hated the sight of people and started practicing black magic. As the years passed, she moved into the forest and hardly ever came out. She perceived all the people as a threat, and that's why she attacked anyone who passed through her territory. She kills people and eats their flesh, and stores their body parts in the jar for her rituals. People call her a witch, as she is a cannibal and had dark powers. Years have passed since my encounter with the forest witch, but to date, people go missing in the forest. And I still think about what would have been my fate if I wasn't able to escape. Hi guys, my name is Jasper, and I'm a writer. And being a writer means I am constantly in search of inspiration to write great stories about. This time, I am planning to write a book about all the famous urban legends from all over the world. While doing my research, I came across an urban legend of the witches. This legend can be found in many countries worldwide, be it Norway, India, America, Japan, or Mexico. But one story in particular caught my attention. This story takes place on a dark, scary night in a rural area in India. The story starts with a man named Ali who was traveling due to his job. Ali loved his job. But if there was one more thing he loved more, that was photography. Whenever he went on an overnight trip, he made sure to carry his camera with him. Ali was very good at photography, and many of his pictures were displayed in exhibitions. Some were even published in esteemed magazines and newspapers. On one such weekend, Ali, who lived and worked in Mumbai, had to travel to Kerala, a state in southwest India, for some work related to his job. Ali was delighted to visit the state he hadn't visited before. So as soon as he was asked by his boss to leave, Ali took the night flight to Kerala. As he was done with his work, he decided to explore the surrounding areas and perhaps see some famous tourist spots in the vicinity. He asked the local people about the places he could explore, and most of them told him about a beautiful large waterfall that was no more than 20 kilometers away from the city he was in. The next morning, Ali took a local bus and visited the waterfall. He planned to get back to the town by evening so he could catch his night flight back to Mumbai. He reached the waterfall and the place was crowded. So many tourists had gathered to see the iconic waterfall that Ali could barely get any decent pictures. Defeated, he decided to return to the small bus stop and wait for a bus back to the town. After waiting for about an hour or so, Ali wasn't able to catch even one bus. He was tired and bored out of his mind and wanted to pee. Without thinking much about it, he stood beneath a nearby tree, hung his bag to a long nail that was sticking out of the tree, and relieved himself. He took his bag, but while taking it off the nail, he removed the nail from the tree by mistake. Not paying much attention, he dropped the nail on the ground and returned to the bus stop. Not 5 minutes later, a car stopped right in front of Ali, and the driver said, "What are you doing here, sir?"
"I am stranded on this road, I believe. There is no bus going to the town, and I need to reach the town before evening. I have been waiting here for an hour."
"Get in the car. I am going to the town. I can drop you off." Ali was thrilled, and without any hesitation, he got in the car. It was around afternoon now. "Thank you so much, sir, for offering me a ride. I am Ali, by the way."
"Oh, no problem. I'm Victor D'Souza, and you would have not gotten a bus today anyways."
"Why, sir?" asked Ali.
"There is a bus strike going on in town, so the local bus service is unavailable at the moment."
"Oh, that explains why I could not get a bus.
Also, Ali, what brings you here?"
Ali was delighted to answer the question. "I work for an IT company, and work takes me all over the country.
This time, I landed in Kerala and decided to do some sightseeing after work. I love photography. But this time, unfortunately, the waterfall was crowded and I couldn't get a good shot.
If you have time, can I show you an offbeat spot that has a waterfall too? You can click your pictures there.
Sure, said Ali. Victor and Ali spoke about general topics during their drive when suddenly, Victor asked Ali,
Do you mind telling me what you are doing near the tree beside the bus stop where I picked you up from?
They were 2 hours into the drive now, and the sun had begun to set already. Oh, Ali laughed sheepishly and said,
Well, I was relieving myself. You must not be aware, but any resident would not have dared go near the bus stop, let alone the tree.
Why?
It's believed that a witch used to live on the tree many, many years ago.
Ali laughed out loud.
Come on, Victor. We live in the 21st century. Do not tell me about a stupid urban legend. You may think it's funny, but 6 people died in the village in the most horrible way. All of those people had gone near the tree.
It's a pretty isolated area. It could have been an animal attack.
6 people dying after visiting the same place does not seem like a coincidence. Everyone believes that it was the witch's doing. After the incident, a very learned priest was called by the villagers to put an end to the witch. But he wasn't able to banish the evil spirit from this world. Instead, he managed to capture the witch in the tree and shut off her from the world with the help of a long nail.
Yeah, then I guess I freed the witch, Ali said, still amused. It was rapidly getting dark now.
What do you mean, Ali?
Victor asked, a little bit panicked. While I was peeing, I hung my bag on the nail and it fell when I took my bag off. I let it be on the ground and that's when you drove there.
My God, Ali, I don't know what will happen now. It's better if we reach the town soon.
Hey, watch out!
Screamed Ali. Victor steered the car off the road and got out of it.
Hey, are you nuts? Why did you stand in the middle of the street like this? I could have driven over you.
Ali could hear Victor screaming at the woman who had stood in the middle of the road, but could not hear what the woman said to Victor. Soon, the two returned to the car, and the woman, who was dressed in white, sat in the back seat.
She too wants to go to the town, but just like you, she can't due to the bus strike, said Victor.
Ali turned to the woman, who was stunningly beautiful, and introduced himself.
Hey, I'm Ali.
I'm Mira, said the lady.
Their conversation steered back to the topic of the witch and how Ali had possibly freed the witch. This is when Mira spoke.
I do not think the witch can change her form.
Before Ali could ask anything else, Victor informed him that the spot they spoke earlier about was just a few minutes away, and although it was dark outside now, he could at least see the spot. Ali agreed, and the three reached the said spot. Victor parked the car and told Mira to wait inside, as they both will return shortly. Victor led Ali towards the spot which was in the woods.
Hey, there is your waterfall.
Victor pointed in the distance.
Go ahead and smoke, and I will smoke a cigarette here.
Okay, said Ali and walked ahead with his camera which could click pictures in the dark as well. That's when Victor got a message on his cell phone. And what the message read sucked the living soul out of Victor. He could see Ali in the distance, busy with his camera. And from behind, he heard anklets, meaning a woman was walking towards him. A few minutes later, a feminine hand landed on his shoulder, and he knew what to expect. It was Mira. She said,
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
The police came looking for the driver of the car, so I decided to fetch you. They said they found a dead body a few kilometers away. That's when Victor showed the message to Mira, and she too looked equally terrified. Meanwhile, Ali turned with his camera hanging off his neck, and a creepy smile on his face spoke.
Yes, she does change forms.
A few hours later, the police found the mutilated bodies of Victor and Mira near the waterfall. And on Victor's phone was the message that had the picture of the dead body, who was none other than the real Ali.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.